We're all familiar with this passage, I think. Certainly there have been non-Catholics who have questioned why we call priests father, because after all, here our Lord said, call no one father. This perfect example of pulling a statement out of the scripture without taking into consideration the context from which it came. Our Lord was using hyperbole here, as he does in some other instances, exaggerating something to make a point. Certainly he didn't mean that people were not to call their fathers. He didn't say you must call them male parents. That's not the point of it. He is speaking of the Father. What he's concerned with is that we not focus on ourselves, but on the Lord. That our lives are not about us. We're not about us. We're about the one who created us and designed us and has plans for us. But we live, especially today, in a culture that doesn't know God. I can't tell you how many times on the internet I've had to defend God because people think of him as just another guy. You know, what really amazes me is the atheists, the God they rail at is the God they don't know. They think they're talking about another mere human. The idea of God being completely beyond us is beyond them. Jesus called God Father. So often we think that we know what fathers are, and so we apply the attributes to fathers to God. And it's really just the other way around. We know something of what human fathers are because of who God is. He's the one we measure fatherhood against, not the other way around. In the Last Supper, when Philip tells our Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus almost has a meltdown. He says, Philip, have I been with you all this time and still you don't know the Father? He who sees me sees the Father. He was exasperated. Here it was the night before he was going to die, and these people that he'd given so much special attention to so that they could carry on after him don't even know this basic thing. They knew it by Pentecost. God the Father begets the Son eternally. St. Thomas uses an example in trying to get some handle on the Trinity, because it's such a mystery. He says, think of it as myself, us, reflecting on ourselves. That reflection is a part of us, but it's separate from us as well. And that's somewhat similar to what it means for God to beget the Son. They're one, and yet they're somewhat separate. They are separate. And then the love that they have for each other itself is a person. But again, when we speak of divine persons, we're talking about something that's far different from what we understand of as person. Our notion of personhood is very limited compared to the three divine persons, because we're talking God here. But God created human beings in his image and likeness. And so men and women share in different ways some of what God is. First of all, he designed men to be fathers, and he designed women to be mothers, regardless of whether they ever have any biological children. But they're designed this way. They think a particular way. They act a particular way because they're prepared for a particular mission if God should call them to it. There certainly are similarities. Mothers and fathers are both parents. But they parent their children in different ways because they're different. Men and women are different. When boys get to a certain age, there's a breaking away from the feminine, breaking away from the mother. It's a necessary process. It's why so often mothers become kind of frustrated at their sons for being somewhat gross. You know what I'm talking about. But it's a necessary separation, because later on it enables them to come back to the feminine as husbands, as fathers. But that separation has to take place. When it doesn't take place, we have trouble. Men are called to imitate God's fatherhood. And God's fatherhood is somewhat demanding. The father had to separate himself, in a sense, from the son in order for the son to save humanity. It was ultimately for a good. But in his human nature, our Lord suffered through that. In the agony in the garden, he felt very lonely. It was the extreme of loneliness that anyone's ever experienced. Completely alone and cut off. And yet intellectually he knew that the Father loved him. But he had to feel that experience. That struggle is necessary for growth for human beings. And he is the great model for us all. We'd like to do it easily. We'd like to say Christianity is a comfortable religion. It's a comforting religion, but it's not a comfortable religion. Because reality isn't that comfortable. You know, every time we take a step of growth, something's expected of us. When we go to school, there are rules and separation from our family. We're not responsible. We don't have the freedom to do whatever we want during the day. We have to be in the classroom. We have homework. All these things that children would love to not have. But they are there for a purpose. When people get married, something's expected of them. They're not there again. Their freedom seems to be curtailed. They have to think in terms of someone else besides themselves in a very intimate way, on a daily basis. And then when children come, something more is added. Every time a new child comes, something more is required. That's how we grow. And old age, as I'm learning, there's something expected of us at this point as well. Now, in all of these instances, we can whine, we can fight it, we can complain, we can blame other people, but we also can accept it and go with it, allowing it to form us, to prepare us for our ultimate meeting with God. So men have a special place in the family, and it's not the mother's place. It can't be the mother's place. She's designed for that. In fact, she's designed as the first place we've ever known. She's our first home. This is not true for the father, but the father loves in a different way. And he challenges. He challenges us as we take our steps while we're still at home. And when fathers don't do that, then everything falls apart. Everything becomes unbalanced. When men are unbalanced, then women are unbalanced and the family's unbalanced. And that's the situation we find ourselves in our current culture. There's nothing but confusion about who men and women are. It's not a matter of feeling like one. It's a matter of the reality that is there. Our feelings are simply reactions. They can be appropriate or not. We're not always in control of the feelings that we have, but we certainly are in control of what we do about them. And there is such a need for fathers in our society. Such a need. The great example of fatherhood for us all is Saint Joseph. He's such a popular saint. Everybody loves Saint Joseph because he is such a father. But he took the back seat. I mean, he wasn't in the forefront. He was all about God. His concern was doing whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And as a result, he became a role model for the Son of God, at least when he was very young. We all crave fathers. Fathers can approve people. They can approve us in ways that we need to be approved of. That's the big thing that fathers can do. They can also challenge, and both are necessary. When I was back at home, we lived not too far away from General Foods cannery, and every late afternoon, they would roast coffee beans for Yuban and Maxwell House Coffee, and the wind from the San Francisco Bay, I lived in Hayward, would drift over in our direction. And if it was summertime and we were eating out in the patio, we'd suddenly get this fragrance of coffee. And we'd want it. In fact, we'd have coffee. We'd deliberately want it, you know, because we knew how good coffee is. And this evidence of it brought it to our attention, and we responded. This is true of all creation. All creation tastes and smells like God. It has the same effect on us if we know who God is. We find ourselves craving him when we're reminded of him, of how good he is. This is who God is. It's the way he designed us. But if we don't know who God is, then we're not privy to... It's as if I didn't know what coffee was. It would be a nice fragrance, but I wouldn't know... I wouldn't be inclined to want to have a cup of coffee because I wouldn't know about it. And that's the world we live in right now. The world is not in tune with who God is. So we don't understand parenthood. We don't understand fathers or mothers. We don't understand men and women. These are basic things. And our culture just kind of goes along blithely, unaware of how unaware it is. And thank God for the church. Thank God for the popes that we've had. Popes are father figures. And they're very powerful ones, and there's nobody like them in the world. So fathers are not secondary parents or uninteresting people. They speak by their very beings. They speak of God. And they have responsibilities to lead the family. Doesn't mean that they have to be super macho. On the contrary, nothing is more impressive than to see a man bending down in compassion. I know that the greatest memory I have of my father, I was a teenager, and I didn't appreciate it at the time, at least I didn't think I did, until the fact that I can still remember it. We were on vacation, and we were visiting Mission Carmel, you know, the mission down at Carmel. And we were looking at you go to several rooms, and there was one that had various art effects, and one room had a number of crucifixes, and they were Spanish style. They were all painted with blood and so on, and they looked very real. And I saw the tears in my father's eyes when he looked at the crucifix. That is my greatest memory of him, and really my greatest consolation at his death. My father loved the Lord. And it's not surprising to me that I ended up a priest, because both of my parents loved the Lord. It's the way it goes. So today, as we hear this gospel passage read, and we hear that the Lord is telling us not to put ourselves first, but to put the Lord first, not to call anybody father. Well, we can call our fathers father, we can call priests father, but we must recognize that the world does not revolve around us. It revolves around God. He indeed is our Father. And we need to appreciate that, because he is so good and he deserves all that we have to give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.